This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Carl Kim heads the National Disaster Preparedness Training Center. It's a federally funded program whose reach includes Pacific coastal communities. Its aim is to help our first responders and emergency managers in natural disasters. Kim spoke with us this morning about the relaunch of a revised coronavirus survey using contact tracing. He tells us he was floored by the initial response to the survey. It drew a whopping 22,000 people, and Kim wants to expand that even further, reaching out across the state.
We were quite surprised. We hadn't anticipated that many responses, but I think that's really a good thing, that people are concerned, that they have information that they want to share, and they also need information as well, too. We rolled the first version out really quickly, and so we made some adjustments based upon what we learned from the first version, and that we also realized, too, that things may have changed since the end of March as well, too. So we are encouraging people to retake the survey. We keep track of the time and date when responses come in, so we can analyze, you know, potentially repeat visitors to the surveys. It has some improvements to it, some other questions on it. We're also transitioning to look at, in addition to symptoms, self-reported symptoms, self-reported cases, we're also we have a few questions on the impacts associated with the COVID-19 that are new.
And you want to expand your reach. You have now translated this in different languages?
Yes, yeah, and that's the second version is going to be, because we know that there are some biases in the first version. So we've translated it into Japanese, Chinese, Spanish, and other languages as well, too, because we know that are underrepresented in certain groups.
And you're also making a push to make sure that residents of the neighbor islands are included in the survey.
Yes, and so that's also part of what we're trying to do in this second version.
What do you think is the most significant thing that has occurred since the first survey was rolled out? Various counties have rolled out certain orders at different times, you know, the mandatory curfew. You think the attitudes have changed at all, you know, because you've got the orders about the masks?
That is one of the questions that we added to the second version of the questionnaire, whether or not, you know, how often you wear a mask. That was not on the first version. I think some of the most important findings, that there still is quite a bit of movement and travel. I think our questionnaire found that 13% of the 22,000 people continue to work, and then 31% of the sample still continues to make trips for grocery stores and pharmacies. That's a significant amount of travel that continues to occur. So I think it's important to recognize that in spite of restrictions, there still is a lot of movement.
Have you been able to find out if anyone on the survey has tested positive?
We asked that question, and we asked the question, do you live in the same household as someone who has symptoms or confirmed to have COVID-19? And in our survey, only 2% of 392 of the 22,000 people said yes to that question. The vast majority of people in our survey, 98%, said no to that question. We also asked the question another way, too, in that we list the various symptoms and ask, do you have a cough or shortness of breath or a fever? And we found out that 77% reported that they have no symptoms, but 12% reported that they have a cough, 3% shortness of breath, 1% difficulty breathing, and then 1% with a fever. And then an additional 6% reported additional symptoms that could be linked to the coronavirus.
You started the survey to get some good data. You know, I know we've got various groups doing different things, you know, with drive-through testing, but this was just another way to be able to track the movement of the virus in the community.
Yes. So what we did was we also asked people where they've traveled, the locations of where they live, and places where they suspect the coronavirus to be. And so part of the work that we're doing right now is analyzing what the community has to say about this, because we think there's a lot of knowledge in the community about this.
And how do you reach, I guess, the millennials, the younger residents out there?
What's been interesting about this, this has really been a community-based initiative, and various companies and engineering firms and others have stepped forward and have developed apps and other ways of reaching others that we didn't necessarily reach in our questionnaire. So there is an effort called Aloha Trace, where six of the questions that we have on our survey, it's on a phone-based app that will hopefully reach other groups that we weren't able to reach. And the plan is to try to bring together this and other sources of data in this kind of community-based effort.
Is this the project that's being worked on by AIO Digital?
Yes, yes. And also we're working with the Hawaii Data Collaborative to share information. And this Hawaii Fights COVID group that has come together has been helping to push out information for both our survey as well as the Aloha Trace and other efforts to collect and share community-based information. We just 2 days ago downloaded the 22,000 records, and we're analyzing that information right now. We had done an earlier analysis of the approximately 11,000 cases that we had on April 1. And so we'll let the second round of the survey run for probably 10 more days at least, and then try to do an analysis of that data when that comes in. I think it's really important to protect our vulnerable at-risk populations. In our survey, 21% were over 65, and 26% of those who responded said they had chronic medical conditions. And so I think it's really important for those who are healthy, those who are continuing to work, those who are continuing to go out, to ensure that we take all the measures we can to protect these vulnerable populations.
Is this being shared like nationally?
We're working with other researchers who are using similar methodologies for collecting and merging together crowdsourced information, survey data, other types of data that we can use to, how do you pull all this together and make sense of what's happening, you know, not just here in Hawaii, but in other communities as well. So what's really important is to have data. And this really is about collecting data, that we need more data. And not just data for the sake of collecting data, data that we can analyze and use to support decision-making. From our perspective right now, it's most important to identify the potential cases, potential ways and pathways through which the disease can spread, and then do all that we can to protect those vulnerable populations so they don't end up needing additional treatment. I think from my perspective as a transportation researcher, we're very much interested in travel behavior. How do people travel? How do they move from one location to another? And then how the disease can potentially spread in that way. In our survey, 5% of the sample traveled from the U.S. continent, and about 1% internationally, 4% had neighbor islands travel. And so I think it's important to understand movements into Hawaii, but also throughout Hawaii as well.
That was Carl Kim of the Pacific Disaster Preparedness Training Center talking about the launch of a revised survey aimed to track the COVID-19 virus spread in our island community. To take part in that survey, you can Google Hawaii Fights COVID or also Aloha Trace.